to reopen or to remain? Welcome to the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. It's a question of when and how South Florida reopens, not a question of if. This week, a draft plan from Miami-Dade County Mayor Carlos Jimenez was released to begin a return to a new normal, starting with the outdoors.
First thing we're going to do is looking at open spaces. Our medical experts say exercise and open spaces and fresh air is actually good for us, and so do that in a way that's safe.
What are the public health signs to look for to help decide when and how South Florida should reopen and begin emerging from the COVID-19 slowdown and shutdown? What do you think about early efforts to gradually reopen? 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. The South Florida Roundup made possible by Willie the Bee Man, bee removal specialist. Welcome to the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week and supporting public radio. It's been more than a month since all the shutdowns in South Florida. Plans to begin reopening are now underway. Up first seem to be parks and open spaces. Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez is leading a local task force focused on reopening efforts. Here's what he said during a town hall earlier this week.
But people need to start to go out. People need to, and we need to start looking at when we can get to a new normal, because frankly, we can't sustain this path that we're on as a county, as a state, or as a country.
All this hour here on the South Florida Roundup, we're going to be talking about the road to reopening, how and when that could happen. Our phone lines are open now. What questions do you have about easing restrictions that have been put in place to flatten the curve to slow the spread of COVID-19? What are your concerns about entering a new normal in the coming days, weeks, or months? Perhaps you're one of those millions of Floridians that have been affected in terms of employment. What are your experiences? 800-743-WLRN. Our phone line's open right now. We'll get to your calls in a moment, but call in now. 800-743-9576. This week, we asked WLRN listeners and followers what they thought about early efforts to gradually reopen the region.
Hello, my name is Luz Nazario, and I live in South Miami, Miami-Dade County. I would like for, yes, Miami-Dade County to reopen again, but I think we need to be very cautious. I think if we slowly open, perhaps starting May 11th after Mother's Day, parks like Tropical Park, big open spaces, not the beaches as of yet, nor the malls. But I would really, truly like to give our community some time to be safe, be ready to transition. And it's not just, you know, just for yourself, it's for everybody. We do not want to be back at square one where we have to spend another 6 weeks quarantined.
Time will remain closed for weeks to come. Today, here on this Friday, as we're live on WLRN, Monroe County released a statement saying it would continue banning visitors to the Keys throughout the month of May and maybe longer. 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. The Monroe County Mayor, Heather Carruthers, is on the telephone, and she joins us now here on WLRN. Mayor Carruthers, welcome back to WLRN. What prompted this move to say essentially the checkpoint and non-essential visitors are going to remain in place and remain out of the Keys throughout May?
Well, we started putting together in the last week our plan for relaxing protective measures that we have in place for COVID-19, and working with our health department and medical officials, we've been looking at things, frankly, in increments of about 2 weeks at a time, simply because that's the basic time frame for the incubation of the disease. So you take an action and you see if any new clusters of the disease pop up. If they don't, you take another action. Using that rubric, we get to the end of May before we can really start allowing people who come from areas that have higher infection rates than the Keys to return.
Yeah, the Keys only borders one populous county, that, of course, being Miami-Dade County, which has the plurality of cases in all of Florida, more than 10,000 confirmed cases. So how much are you watching the curve in Miami-Dade County to decide the actions that you take in Monroe County?
Very, very closely. We're watching that and throughout Southeast Florida because, you know, we have great connections with people in Southeast Florida, and we all feel like we're in this together. But we have to protect our residents and understand that, you know, we don't have a major hospital like Jackson here. We do have hospitals that are adequate for our population, but once we start expanding that, it really puts a strain on all of our resources. And so, you know, being a visitor, a tourism center, we get people from all over the world, and particularly from the counties directly to our north. So we want to make sure that everyone is as safe as they possibly can be. So
will the checkpoint be up through the end of May? Is that the plan right now, Mayor?
We are going to maintain the checkpoint as long as it seems to be necessary. So that is the plan right now.
It seems to be necessary in terms of kind of policing non-essential visitors and keeping them out. Is that what you mean?
At this point, it seems to be effective in encouraging folks who maybe don't have residence here or don't have a legitimate employment business here, that this is not the time for them to visit the Keys.
The Keys economy, as we know, rests on tourism and visitors. This decision that you are helping make and you're a big part of here will essentially keep the hospitality business in the Keys closed for at least 9 or 10 weeks if you go through the end of May. What's that mean?
It's devastating. Of course it is. And it's a big concern to us. But equally of a major concern is if we decide to open up those facilities before this crisis is really under control, we could have a resurgence that could ultimately be more damaging to the economy, and we don't want that. We wish that the ability for some of these assistance packages to filter down to people who are unemployed was coming a little bit faster, and obviously we're continuing to monitor that.
Yeah, talking about some of the small business stimulus plans from the federal government and some of those that have been offered by the state government. What about the state of finances for the county? I think it was, a week or 2 weeks ago, there was talk about some furloughs.
Yes, we have been looking at our finances and tightening our belts. We've had to, you know, there's a safer at home order in effect with the state. So those employees of ours who can work from home are working from home.
Yeah.
There are some kinds of jobs that you can't really do from home and that you don't really need if other public offices are not open.
That safer at home order by the governor is due to expire April 30th, which I think is next Thursday. So in less than a week, do you support extending that?
I'll tell you, I was on a call yesterday with some epidemiologists from the University of Florida, and based on the medical input that we're getting, I don't think that the state is ready yet to completely go back to normal. We just don't have sufficient testing in place throughout the state, and until we do that, you know, that's sort of the first step. But that's according to the medical experts here, and that's who we're following. We're looking at data. We're looking at science. We're trying to keep everyone safe, but also trying to flesh out a plan where we can open up, if you will, parts of our local economy and start to get people engaged again, because we need to do that as quickly and as safely as we can.
Miami-Dade County is talking about open spaces, right? Parks and golf courses and marinas. That marinas is a big piece in the Keys. What's the status there?
Well, frankly, most of our marinas have been open in many places in the Keys to locals who keep their boats there.
Right.
Marinas are not here for people to use them as de facto hotel rooms. However, they have been available when people need to refuel or restock, and certainly available for locals to use. But we are concerned that sometimes marinas, particularly in the Upper Keys, them being open and having too many boats essentially is a real party scene on the water that is not conducive to stopping the spread of this disease. So anyone who is on the water, our mandate is you stay 50 feet away from another boat so that we avoid that kind of transmission. And, you know, as you, I'm sure, are aware, Miami-Dade's regulations will limit the number of people that can be on any boat based on size. And our law enforcement and Coast Guard and FWC will be watching as some of those marinas open to make ensure that we don't get a tremendous amount of crowd on some of our sandbars and some of our areas in the Upper Keys in particular. We're very concerned about that.
Monroe County Mayor Heather Carruthers with us live here on this Friday as the county announcing plans that will probably remain, have the checkpoint kind of up in place, banning non-residents and non-essential visitors from the Keys, perhaps through the end of May. Mayor Carruthers, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Talking about efforts to reopen South Florida and what parts and how soon and when and how to do that, we're joined now by Dr. Eileen Marty via Skype. She's an infectious disease specialist at Florida International University, serves on Miami-Dade's reopening task force. Also with us on the telephone is Aurelio Fernandez, CEO of Memorial Healthcare System in Broward County. He's also on the governor's statewide Reopen Florida task force. Welcome back to WLRN for both of you. Dr. Marty, let's start with the science. What does the current science tell us, first of all, about reopening efforts in South Florida and then more broadly in the state of Florida?
Well, what we're looking for is to have a sustained period of time where we have a reproductive number below one. Right now, we're just below one in South Florida, which is encouraging. And what we'd really like to see is 2 weeks below one before we start opening up. However, that being said, the mayors here, several different mayors that I've had the privilege of chatting with, are wondering about opening some things in an appropriate manner with controls. And that's why we're talking about perhaps opening some parks for several hours using appropriate social distancing, people wearing masks. If they're running, everybody goes clockwise, nobody goes counterclockwise, that sort of thing. And it, when you're running about 15 feet, I mean, there's details that they just go on and on.
If those rules are followed, Doctor, is it advisable to begin lifting some of those restrictions that have been in place?
Well, that's exactly what the mayors are looking to see. Is our population going to take the responsibility to follow these rules and allow the government to lift these restrictions in a controlled and useful way? And if our population does take responsibility, then we can open a lot of different things even before waiting the 2 weeks for the reproductive number to go below one.
Aurelio Fernandez with Broward Memorial Healthcare. It is the public health system in South Broward County. You run it as the CEO, also on the governor's statewide reopening task force and president of the Florida Hospital Association. Is the hospital healthcare industry in South Florida in a good enough place so that some of these restrictions can be lifted?
One of the things that I can comment on is that all the hospitals in South Florida have capacity to take on a surge if it does happen. The fact that we have seen our census drop significantly in every one of our hospitals gives us tremendous amount of comfort that there is enough capacity both in medical surgical services as well as critical care. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have a conference call with all the CEOs from all the hospitals in South Florida, and we share information. As you all know, there were field hospitals that were set up in a convention center in Miami Beach and one here in Broward by the Executive Airport, and we have not had to resort to those types of services. So we feel that the construction of these field hospital beds, as well as the capacity that has been built in all of our hospitals in South Florida. When I say South Florida, it's Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach.
Right.
Is more than adequate to meet any of the needs, especially with our models showing a decline in the number of cases, COVID-19 cases.
How important are those field hospitals to remain open, though, if some of these restrictions begin to get lifted in the days ahead?
Yeah, I don't see them being closed because you never know if the virus resurges again, it could create a strain in the healthcare system. But I can assure you that based on the data that we have between the three counties, there's more than adequate capacity, not only bed capacity, but the ability to staff them.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Marty, you agree with that assessment?
I also have been seeing what's going on in the hospitals. And of course, taking into consideration the reality that right now we're not allowing certain kinds of elective surgeries and so forth, we absolutely have the capacities right now for a surge. But I think hospitals will want to go back to being able to, I mean, people want their cataract surgery, for example. It may not be, you know, life-threatening, but it certainly affects their life.
Yeah.
So it's a qualified agreement. I think that one thing that we need to take into consideration is some processes that other nations have done, which is some places have designated certain hospitals as respiratory hospitals, and the rest as not, so that the patients that have, whether it's COVID or influenza or pneumonia, wind up in one hospital, and then in other words, so that we can build up our use of the hospitals back to where they need to be as well.
Yeah, Dr. Marty, stick with us here, and Aurelio Fernandez, CEO of Memorial Healthcare System in Broward County, also stay on the line. We're going to talk about elective surgeries and some questions about when and how to restart those within the hospital system. Your phone calls, 800-743-WLRN. Are you ready for parts of your community to reopen? What considerations, concerns, opportunities do you have? 800-743-WLRN. In Fort Lauderdale, Kareem is on line one. Kareem, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call on the service that you're doing. I have a question of how do you have some kind of self-responsibility or having a policy in place or guidelines from people, from the CDC, from all these respective organizations, and there's no way to enforce it. Like I went into Ruby Tuesday on Wednesday and Subway in Lauderhill, and they had people going inside the establishment without wearing masks. The manager wasn't.
Kareem, you still with us? I think we got connected there, but talking a little bit about, the line drop there, Dr. Marty and Aurelio, but obviously talking about the accountability and the enforcement of some of these measures that have been put in place, social distancing, in the case that he was discussing there, some restaurant takeout and delivery places, the wearing of masks. Aurelio Fernandez with Memorial Healthcare System, how important is accountability, is enforcement as part of the discussion of lifting some of these restrictions?
No, absolutely. It's very important. What you want to avoid is a resurgence the virus spreading. So adherence to CMS guidelines, CDC guidelines is an imperative if this is going to happen. Now, the governor, which I think has done a phenomenal job, by the way, because if you look at the statistics in Florida compared to the other states, whether it be New Jersey, New York, Michigan, and so forth, they are so far below the incidence per 100,000 in just about every category. So kudos to the governor, kudos to the superintendents in the school system for closing the school early enough and implementing the staying at home and self-quarantine requirements that has been imposed to all of us.
Aurelio, let me ask you, though, the latest data we got on this Friday had Thursday's numbers, 1,300 new confirmed cases. In Florida, it spiked up. It jumped up. It was that's the highest we've seen, roughly, of any day since the COVID-19 situation began.
Well, it's 1,300 in one day out of 21 million residents in the state of Florida. One of the things you're going to find is that there's more testing, and as you have more testing, you're going to find more individuals that have positive results. In our situation, for example, we have a drive-through testing in collaboration with the National Guard. It was the first drive-through testing site in the state of Florida. It's been open now for 4 months. We've done up to 16,000, over 16,000 tests at that.
It's been open for 4 weeks, not 4 months.
No, I mean 4 weeks.
4 weeks, okay.
That's correct. Gotcha. So it has been, originally it was for 60 folks who were 65 years of age and older, and they were symptoms that would qualify them to test. And this week it's been open for everyone. So it is, the more you test, the more you're going to find positive. But just because you find a positive, those individuals will be quarantined or should be quarantined.
Should be, yeah.
And we're not necessarily saying they're all going to be hospitalized.
Right. So, certainly not. In fact, the majority of COVID-19 confirmed cases are not hospitalized. And the issue of testing is front and center during those conversations, Aurelio, that you're having at the state level with the governor's task force about reopening, and certainly, Dr. Marty, that you're having in the local level about Miami-Dade. We're going to take a quick break, but we do want to continue to hear from you, your questions and your concerns about the COVID-19 and the potential for beginning to lift some restrictions that have been put in place to slow the spread of the coronavirus. This week, we've been asking WLRN listeners what they thought about early efforts to gradually reopen the region.
My name is Annabelle. I live in Westchester in South Florida. I think that South Florida should remain closed until we are sure that this is over, that we are safe. As much as I'd love to go out on the beach, I think that we should be considering the safety of public health here and making sure that everyone who is at risk is healthy and can get the treatment that they need. I definitely think we need more time before Florida can open up again.
Your thoughts, your concerns, your hope for reopening South Florida, 800-743-WLRN. Phone lines open now, 800-743-9576, as the South Florida Roundup continues in a moment. We're back on the South Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening and supporting public radio. South Florida continues to have the highest number of confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the state. The area is also where testing efforts have expanded the most. Some drive-through sites in Broward and Miami-Dade counties are now accepting all adults, whether or not they're showing symptoms. Before, most people had to be showing symptoms of the coronavirus to get tested. Some sites are also now beginning retesting of people who've already had positive results. Reopening the local economy is going to depend in part on access to testing and regular testing, so we're continuing the conversation this hour on the conditions needed to get South Florida running again. And we've been asking WLRN listeners and social media followers all week about what they thought about some early efforts to gradually reopen the region.
Hi, my name is Miguel Angel Salazar. I'm a resident of Miami in the Brickell area. I personally have been unemployed for the last few months, even before the pandemic. So the need to go back to work is even more compelling in my case. However, I really, really feel that we should not make the same mistake that we did at the beginning by starting the lockdown too late. In this case, we shouldn't start the opening too soon. Before we do that, we need to make sure that we have enough nurses, that we have enough doctors, and we have enough tests to treat the possible cases and the existing cases.
You can join our conversation this hour live on this Friday on the South Florida Roundup. What do you want to know about reopening efforts? Should that happen sooner or later? What about access to testing and retesting? 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. Monroe County said earlier on this Friday that it is planning to stay closed to visitors and non-essential visitors throughout next month into May, late May perhaps. In a statement, the county said testing results are part of the data needed to assess plans to reopen the Florida Keys for visitors. We're joined now on the telephone by Robert Eady, head of the Monroe County Department of Public Health. Robert, welcome to WLRN. Tell us the status of testing in Monroe County. Are you having access to the kind of supplies that you'd like to have?
Well, I don't think, thanks for having me on. I don't think anybody is having access to the kind of supplies they would like to have for a variety of reasons. But for us here, we are having enough for the people that are really going to need to be tested, the ones that that could possibly need medical care. We have enough of those going on, and we have enough tests there.
And Bob, who are those people? Give us a sense about who those who are the priority to receive those tests.
The priorities would be those that, well, just to start off with, the ones that a medical provider, physician would say, this person seems to have some reason to be tested, is diagnosed. And those could be they're exhibiting symptoms that could be coronavirus, or it could be that they are a direct contact with somebody that has mm-hmm. been present or a contact, or someone that has symptoms and you can't figure out exactly what it is, so you would need to rule out. So,
Bob, have you started to do any retesting in the Keys?
Not yet. No, the Keys are you know, we're lucky, and I'm not sure how to address. No, we've not done that because we have limited staff, limited supplies. But we've also been lucky. If you notice the way our disease has progressed here, it's been a gradual sort of thing. We've not had nearly the outbreak that our counties to the north have had.
Yeah.
And so with a limited staff, we've been able to do pretty well with using the medical community as such, testing those that need testing. And so that's good news and bad news. I mean, in the sense that I think we can control what we have right now. The real concern, and you've mentioned that the Keys are not opening anytime soon to people from without Monroe County, and that's because the worst thing that could happen to us is to have a real influx of the infection coming in again.
Yeah, certainly, Bob. So let me ask you about those conditions, and particularly on the testing side, and we'll talk more with Dr. Marty and Aurelio Fernandez, our guests, and your phone calls as well. Sure. But we know testing is so key. It is at the center of the public health conversation regarding reopening. What kind of testing, Bob, would you like to see in place in Monroe County in late May or early June, at whatever point you wind up recommending to lift the checkpoint?
Well, we're going to have to get, and because we're part of government and the state of Florida, so we would take the lead from the Department of Health out of Tallahassee. But we're going to need to have a sufficient number of the antibody tests, and have those antibody tests that are going to be reliable, so that they give us information to say exactly who has had exposure to the COVID-19, the virus that causes that.
So are you doing any antibody testing right now in Monroe County?
There is some that's available, but it's through the private sector. And every time I look to try to validate some of the tests just on my own, or try to get some guidance from Tallahassee, the issues have been how reliable are these tests right now. I think the ones that are coming online now from some of your bigger private laboratories probably should be better. The University of Miami is conducting antibody tests.
Yeah,
as part of a project that they have for
Bob, just hold on the line on this antibody quality of testing here. Dr. Marty with FIU, infectious disease specialist, are you aware of some of these concerns that Bob is putting voice to regarding the quality of the test or even the results?
Absolutely. There's a lot of review of the various different serologic tests that have become available in recent times, and the vast majority are neither sensitive or specific enough. In other words, there's false negatives and false positives. That's one of the concerns. The one that University of Miami is doing, the person who's in charge of it is wonderful, absolutely tremendous. However, he's using a test from China that has false negatives and false positives. So he's doing the best he can with a tool that's just not the best tool. Mm-hmm. And here's another set of problems with that. Having antibodies, first of all, is the antibody that the human has binding to something unique about the SARS-2 virus of COVID-19, or is it binding to something that you would find in a cold type of coronavirus? That's one question. Another question, and we don't know. That's about specificity. For some of these, even if you have proof that you had this virus, that does not prove that you are immune to it. It only proves you were exposed to it. We're still trying to figure all that part out. So his questions are good. His points and his concerns are reasonable.
Yeah, let's put him to a guy that's running a large healthcare system, Aurelio Fernandez, CEO of Memorial Healthcare System in Broward. You've been listening to this. In terms of the antibody testing, how are you hearing those concerns from Bob Eady in the Department of Health in Monroe County about the validity of those tests and how important they are for these reopening decisions?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's very important, and I cannot talk to the science of these tests. I can tell you that back in March 11, we had a Roche Cobas 280 piece of technology that allowed us to do testing within our facilities. That has been increased by an Abbott M2000, a Roche 6800, and effective this week, every one of our hospitals have a Cepheid machine that can provide the results of the test within 45 minutes.
Are these results of the antibody test or results of the infection?
The infection.
The infection. So not the antibody test, though.
No.
Okay. Gotcha. Bob Eady with the Department of Health in Monroe County, what kind of timeline are you operating under for the kind of testing that you'd like to see, again, to be able to have a recommendation for your county leaders about what to do with the checkpoint in the weeks ahead?
Well, there's a task force that we're putting together right now to try to within the medical community here and with outside the medical community. And I hadn't asked Dr. Marty yet, but I was going to see if she would volunteer to help us some, because I've been following her.
You can make that request in front of thousands of people, Bob, if you'd like to do it right now.
I think I just did, which is totally unfair, and I understand
indeed
that.
Indeed it is,
but,
yeah.
I have been following what she has been saying. So, I mean, I want to answer your question quickly. We're in a unique situation in that the tests that are being talked about just a moment ago are all designed for a very large healthcare setting. So trying to get those out into the field and being able to test a lot of people, that's not available yet. So we got to figure out what test makes sense, that makes sense for us. And then we have such the issue that we've got to be so careful about is, you know, we're controlling our own local infection, if you want to see here. But if we bring in or if the checkpoint is lifted and all of a sudden there are no travel restrictions anywhere, we are opening ourselves up to having a massive amount of infection come in that we've not built any kind of herd immunity to.
Yeah.
So there's so many dimensions to allowing free travel again that these questions need to be answered, and they need to be answered in a way that everybody feels pretty comfortable with. But that being said, I also understand and I feel it how bad it is for people that don't have jobs that are being responsible and they're staying in, and it's really hard. So we've got to figure out how to live with this disease and how we go forward. And you know, we just started this less than 6 months ago, so the playbook's not very thick right now.
No, it isn't. Bob, I appreciate you spending some time with us on this Friday. Bob Eady with the Department of Health in Monroe County, as we're talking about efforts and interest to reopen portions of the South Florida economy. Monroe County announcing on this Friday that it is likely to keep its restrictions in place through the month of March. Eileen Marty is with us, infectious disease specialist, doctor at Florida International University, serving on the Miami-Dade Reopening Task Force. Aurelio Fernandez is the CEO of Memorial Healthcare System in Broward. He serves on the governor's statewide Reopen Florida Task Force. Your phone calls, 800-743-9576. Richard in Pinecrest has been very patient on line four. Richard, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm a physician, pulmonologist, intensivist, taking care of a lot of these COVID patients in the hospital. Some of them
Marty, I've spoken with you in the past recently. I actually think the way to get rid of it is national, global testing. Because everybody in this country, 5 years and older, you will pick up the asymptomatic carriers, which may be about 25%, maybe 50%. Mm-hmm. You quarantine them. Then the next month, you do it again. Everybody gets tested again. Your percentage of asymptomatic carriers are going to drop from 25% to maybe 1% to 3% to maybe none. Yeah. That's how you get rid of the virus. That is the only safest, objective way to deal with it. And the way to do testing is to get the government and get the Army to help us. You get them to set up mass tent drive-through units for thousands in our cities, in our country, and get the Army to do it. They would say, yes, sir, and it gets done. They follow orders. They're beautiful.
Richard, I appreciate that.
And that's how to do it.
I want to talk about the practicality of that idea in a moment, but I do want to correct myself. I accidentally, mistakenly said the Keys would remain closed to non-essential visitors through March. What I meant to say was through the end of May was the statement. I apologize for my mistake there. Aurelio Fernandez with Broward Memorial Health, how practical is that idea that Richard's speaking about of testing everybody over the age of five and retesting frequently?
I don't see that happening in the foreseeable future. You have two main laboratories, Quest and LabCorp, and they're running at capacity 24 hours a day. Sometimes they can turn around the results nicely. Other times it takes 72 hours. So the quicker we can get those results back is the ultimate objective. But the capacity is not there. We can throw an army in those drive-through testing sites, but if you don't have the technology to analyze the data, it doesn't do us any good. So,
yeah.
Right,
Dr. Marty, I mean, you know, certainly it would be wonderful to be able to test everybody for this virus. You could make that argument for other types of infectious diseases that pose a threat to local populations. So how do you scientifically approach this in a way that is sustainable and provides the kinds of answers and public health protections that are necessary for a kind of phased reopening that that's at the center of these discussions?
So you're asking me?
I am asking you, Dr. Marty. Yeah, from the science perspective,
so,
how do you approach this scientifically?
I'll tell you. I'll tell you exactly how it's done. The scientific way to do is to do surveys first, you know, to get an idea of what the background is in the population. And the next thing is to, he has a point about testing. But the way that we can do it effectively is you have to test the asymptomatic contacts of anyone who's positive. So you test everyone who's positive, no matter whether they have the mildest form of disease or the most severe. And then you have to test the contacts. And to do that, you need good contact tracing, which is what we're all trying to work to right now. How's the Florida Department of Health going to do that? And in fact, we had a conversation at FIU this morning, several of us, including the president of the university, talking about perhaps offering to our students kind of a mini accreditation so that they can become capable of doing the contact tracing, and then that we would actually give them a college credit for doing the work of doing some of that contact tracing. So it kind of would be basically a real supplement for the Florida Department of Health, I think. And it would be a win-win-win because everybody, you know, the students are learning something that's worthwhile. The community is getting a good service. And we would more effectively be able to properly test the people that need to be tested the soonest so that those people can be absolutely quarantined until they're no longer contagious.
Dr. Eileen Marty is a FIU Medical School doctor. She's with us here for this full hour on the South Florida Roundup, talking about considerations around reopening from her perspective as an infectious disease specialist. Aurelio Fernandez is also with us, and stick with us, Aurelio. He heads up the Broward Memorial Healthcare System in Broward County. We're going to talk about elective surgeries and opening up space in these hospitals as there's consideration about how and when parts of the South Florida economy begin to get restarted. More of your phone calls as well. What questions and concerns do you have? Share it with us at 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. We're back on the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. We're talking about local efforts to reopen the South Florida economy as the coronavirus pandemic continues. The statewide stay-at-home order is due to expire on April 30th. 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. Aurelio Fernandez is the CEO of Memorial Healthcare System in Broward County. He continues with us. Aurelio, what about the governor's order that prohibited elective surgeries several weeks ago in the effort to free up bed space? Can the healthcare system welcome back some of those elective surgeries in the days or even weeks ahead and still have that supply should there be a surge?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is the process that not only ourselves, but most hospitals in South Florida are going through. To what extent do we open these services. Last night we had a conference with the Secretary of ACA, Secretary Mayhew, and
ACA is the Healthcare
agency,
Administration Agency
for
in Florida.
Healthcare Administration. And we had the Florida Hospital Association present, the Safety Net Alliance represented, Hospital Corporation of America represented, Tenet Healthcare. So we had about 95% of representation for all the hospitals in the state of Florida. And the conversation was, how do we open services again in a safe and in a very gradual manner. The governor's date is really May 8th. We are not doing any elective surgeries or any elective outpatient procedures until the after the 8th. And then we, and I'm now speaking only for Memorial, we evaluate what else can be done, but we're being very selective. We're not proposing to do, for example, hernia repairs or bariatric surgeries. To the point that Dr. Marty was saying is that as you open up the services in the hospital, you don't want to utilize your patient beds in the event of a surge. So most of it, if not all of it, is going to be on an outpatient basis, so they can go back the same day. But I would venture to say that the whole industry is very anxious. One of the suggestions that the secretary made was that you just do not open the whole state of Florida, but you open it by regions. So South Florida is very densely populated. We're over 45% of all the positive cases in the state of Florida. So there might be counties in other parts of the state that do not have that density and therefore has less positive COVID-19 patients that could open in a different manner.
Yeah.
But there was concerns. There was three concerns that was expressed yesterday that we left with the there was a consensus in all the associations. And that is, do we have enough protective personal equipment, PPEs, they're called.
What was the second and third concerns?
The second one was the, do we have enough testing capabilities to provide testing to patients and other individuals, even the staff, before there's the procedure? And then how do we handle the potential of an outbreak in the nursing home industry? Mm-hmm. Those were the three main concerns that were expressed yesterday at the meeting.
Aurelio, stick on the line with this. Dr. Arlene Marty is still with us as well, infectious disease specialist at FIU. Your phone calls now with Coral Gables. Angela, you're up first on line 8. Go ahead, Angela. You're on the radio.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for doing this program. So our problem was my husband has lung cancer. He is currently in treatment. And when this all started, we decided also a little bit against the surgery because under the given circumstances, this would have been even more dangerous. Mm-hmm. He also lost his job right in the beginning when Florida was shut down. So that's an extra added stress on us. I'm a language teacher, and I started teaching only online in the beginning of March because of the concerns, obviously. And I am totally against opening up Florida for business because I'm very worried what this would mean going forward. So I'm with Richard, the previous caller and doctor, that we need testing. I think a good way to start is maybe with people that need to go to work, that they get tested. And the rest of us, we should stay put at home.
Angela, I appreciate your call, and I hope that your husband is getting the care he needs, is on the road to better health in the days and weeks and months ahead. Angela, thank you for sharing your story here with us on WLRN. Edward is in Miami. Go ahead, Edward. You are now on the radio.
I'd like to comment on something 2 minutes ago when they talked about testing and tracing the contracts. I would propose that we follow San Francisco's lead in drafting the underutilized teachers who, and the certainly the administrative personnel and the public school system that are drawing a salary but being underutilized, and position them at supermarkets, say in front of Publix, mm-hmm. 4-hour stints. They would have protective gear, and they would have a one of those forehead thermometers,
yeah.
And they would test people going in. If in the whole day they identify 5 to 50 people, we would have early intervention.
Yeah, Richard, I'm sorry, Edward. Good idea. I'd like to Dr. Marty to respond to this idea about looking for folks. You spoke about FIU students. How about this idea of utilizing public school personnel?
Well, the idea is that we would mini credential them, right? So that, and I'm perfectly fine with using school teachers if they're not being utilized for something else. Right now, a lot of the school teachers are actually working very hard in South Florida. They're just having their interactions by Zoom. So we're looking for people who are qualified, who can do the job right, who, as your caller is saying very correctly, are not being fully utilized to their normal potential because of the restrictions. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're looking for. And yeah, we'll I think it's, as long as we can make sure that they're qualified to do the job and then give them the job and bless them under the appropriate structure under the Florida Department of Health, I think that's phenomenal.
How involved is it to get that kind of certification or that blessing, so to speak, of regulators?
Well, those are two different things. One is something that we know how to do at FIU. It's a matter of training people in what to look for, what to ask, how to structurally do the contact tracing, all those kinds of things.
Do they then also need to be certified by a state agency in order to actually do that work?
I would have to see what Florida rules are for that,
okay,
to find out if they need some specific certification. But I know that they would have to be, they shouldn't be doing it by themselves. They should be doing it under the rubric
exactly,
of the Florida
right.
Department of Health.
Yeah, science works that way. There's no doubt about it. Let's take one other quick call here. Kathy in Boca Raton. Kathy, you're on the radio now. Thanks for your patience.
Hi, yes. I'm a healthcare worker, and I couldn't get tested in the South County, but I heard earlier that they're opening it up to everybody now, because I do go into the elderly, in their home. So, I mean, I certainly wear my, my face mask and that kind of stuff, but, not the full PPE, because we don't have it in order to be able to do it. So, our agency is basically saying only, use it when we have somebody who's really identified as COVID. But so my question, too, is when you do get tested, I just still have to go to the grocery store. I still have to go to the gas station and stuff. So by the time I get home, maybe I've been infected, even though I was tested. Now I'm out there again. I mean, how do we combat that?
Yeah. Let me put that, Aurelio, to you, as you've been operating some testing facilities. And I've got just a couple minutes left here. But this idea of when do we look to a retesting?
Yeah, no, we are doing it at C.B. Smith Park on Flamingo and Pines Boulevard in South Broward. We're doing everyone who shows up, even if it's retesting. You have a very valid point, but this just started this week. And I can tell you that the number of tests that went from about 400, it doubled the last 2 days to about 780, 790.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to C.B. Smith Park, and that is a joint effort between the National Guard and Memorial Healthcare System. You need to make an appointment.
But you can also be retested if you've been tested already?
Yes, sir.
And if that test was negative, you could still come back for that second test?
So far, that's what we're doing. Anybody that can be retested right now.
Gotcha. Aurelio Fernandez, the CEO at Broward Memorial Healthcare System. Aurelio, thanks so much for spending the whole hour with us here on the South Florida Roundup. We really appreciate it.
Anytime.
and Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease specialist with Florida International University. Dr. Marty, thanks for your time as well and sharing your expertise with our audience.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Joining us via Skype today. That is our program. It is produced by Alexander Gonzalez. Our engagement editor is Katie Lepre. Our news director, Terrence Shepard. Alicia Zuckerman is our editorial director. WLRN's director of radio programming is Jason Zabka. The director of radio operations and the show's technical supervisor this week, Peter Mertz. Richard Ives answered the phones for us. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for calling and listening and supporting public radio. The program is made possible by Willie the Bee Man, bee removal specialist.